The following program, The Russ Belville Show, is intended for responsible adults only. We advocate to the repeal of marijuana prohibition for adults. We discuss the science, culture, and controversy about America's marijuana laws. We do not advocate any illegal activity and encourage all listeners to learn their state and federal marijuana laws. Opinions and claims made by guests and advertisers on The Russ Belville Show are their own, and The Russ Belville Show cannot be held legally responsible for their validity or reliability. Viewer discretion is advised.
You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it,
and it goes down smooth. Hey!
Spanning the continent to bring you the truth about cannabis and marijuana law reform.
I smoke pot and I like it a lot.
From the promise of legalization.
And I think that we need to rethink and criminalize our
to the agony of prohibition.
One major responsibility is to encourage people to use less drugs.
The Russ Belville Show, the voice of the marijuana nation.
Yeah, I hear you had a question for me.
Now, here's your host, Radical Russ Belville.
We love it. All right, good day, tokens and tokens, and welcome to the show. It is Thursday, March 27th, 2014, and it's got to be 420 somewhere in the world, and it's good to be back on Pacific time. We are here live and direct from Rolla J Studios in beautiful Potland, Oregon, where it was actually warmer here in Portland this week than it was back in Atlanta, Georgia. It was kind of cold this morning, as a matter of fact. I just got in today around, I think it was about noon, maybe a little bit earlier. Got on a plane in Atlanta at what is the equivalent of 3:15 in the morning Pacific time. So I've already done a full day on planes, and now it's time to do 2 hours of live show. I hope I can cope. I hope this turns out okay. But welcome to the show. So glad to have you all here. We've got a great show for today. Anthony Johnson from the National Cannabis Coalition, from the Oregon Cannabis Industries Association, and importantly from New Approach Oregon will be joining us to talk about this weekend's Eugene Medical Marijuana Business Conference. I'll be presenting there. Both Brian and I will be heading down on a train Saturday night, and we'll be spending Sunday there at the conference and a little bit of Monday as well. We'll bring you back video and interviews for next week's shows. Anthony will be in here to talk about not only that conference coming up, but also the great news that we got this week that his New Approach Oregon's latest iteration of their ballot initiative to legalize marijuana did not get challenged at the state Supreme Court, so they are free to move forward with the beginning of signature gathering. So we'll talk to him about that and other topics important to those of us here in the Great Pacific Northwest. Also on the show today, we'll have time for a radical rant because, you know, I've just about had it with these CBD-only bills and these state legislators and now the governor of Minnesota calling on desperate parents to break state and federal laws. We've got a stunning quote from Minnesota Governor Mark Dayton that is generating a lot of controversy up in Minnesota. So we'll talk about that in our radical rant, as well as some of the other states doing these CBD-only bills. Also, in Behind the Headlines today, we ask, where are all the anti-pot ads? Used to be you couldn't turn on a TV without seeing an anti-pot ad, but now that there's legalization, they just don't seem to be anywhere to be found on the dials. We'll talk about that and what happened to the Partnership for Drug-Free America. Plus, in our Daily Toker Tunes, we've got some Symphony of Science, and our 420 Radio News is coming up next.
We'll be right back after these messages from our 420-friendly sponsors. Support these advertisers because their ad money goes straight to the Russ Belville Show. You're tuned into the Russ Belville Show, the voice of the marijuana nation.
The law offices of Omar Figueroa would like to remind you to stand up for your rights. Please do not give up your precious liberties. There's nothing wrong with standing up for our constitutional rights, and in fact, It's the best way to honor the Constitution that recognizes our natural rights. Treat law enforcement with respect and respect the Constitution by standing up for your rights. If you are detained or arrested, stand up for your rights by repeating, "I respectfully invoke all of my legal and constitutional rights. I do not consent to any search and seizure. I want to remain silent, and I want to speak with my attorney, Omar Figueroa." Omar Figueroa has more than a decade of experience in federal and California courts and graduated from Yale University, Stanford Law School, and Trial Lawyers College. Please contact the law offices of Omar Figueroa at 415-489-0420 or 707-829-0215 or on the web at omarfigueroa.com. 420 Radio, fighting prohibition since 2012. Cannabis Outreach Collective is an alternative health and wellness option located in Gladstone, Oregon, that serves patients in the Portland area and beyond. We are a full-service alternative health and wellness collective accommodating patients with natural, organic, holistic, and homeopathic remedies, nutritional guidance, advice, education, and medical cannabis, fully in accordance with Oregon OMMP law. You can find out more about Cannabis Outreach Collective on Facebook at COC503 or by emailing cannabisoutreachcollective503@gmail.com or by telephone at 503-853-1319. Check out our menu on Weed Maps and visit Cannabis Outreach Collective today. This is your 420 Radio News for Thursday, March 27th, 2014. I'm Russ Belville. Teens who smoke marijuana do better in school than cigarette smokers, study shows. This from rawstory.com. Students who smoke marijuana do better in school than their cigarette-smoking classmates, according to a new study. Canadian researchers surveyed nearly 39,000 Ontario students in grades 7, 9, and 11 between 1981 and 2011 on their marijuana and tobacco use and their academic performance. The study found that students who only smoked marijuana performed better in school than students who smoked only cigarettes or those who smoked both cigarettes and marijuana. Those students who do currently smoke make up a very, quote, marginalized, vulnerable population, said the study's lead author, Michael Chaitin, assistant professor in epidemiology and public health policy at the University of Toronto. "It's not an absolute that they do better," he said. "It's that social norms have changed and the population of people who use marijuana are more like the general population." The Canadian study, published in the March edition of the Journal of School Health, found pot smokers performed relatively better than cigarette smokers, but they didn't outperform non-users. No, legalizing medical marijuana does not lead to crime, according to actual crime stats. This from the Washington Post. There's no evidence that legalizing marijuana for medicinal purposes leads to an increase in crime. In fact, states that have legalized it appear to have seen some reductions in the rate of homicide and assault. These findings come from a nationwide study published Wednesday in the journal PLOS-1. Researchers at the University of Texas at Dallas looked at the FBI's Uniform Crime Report data across the country between 1990 and 2006, a span during which 11 states legalized medical marijuana. Throughout this time period, crime was broadly falling throughout the United States, but a closer look at the differences between these states and within the states that legalized the drug before and after the law's passage further shows no noticeable local uptick among a whole suite of crimes: homicide, rape, robbery, assault, burglary, larceny, and auto theft. The robbery and burglary findings are particularly interesting, as those are the crimes we'd most likely expect to see outside medical dispensaries. But what about the apparent declines in homicide and assault? The researchers offered an explanation. Marijuana legalization may lead to a reduction in alcohol use due to individuals substituting marijuana for alcohol. Given the relationship between alcohol and violent crime, it may turn out that substituting marijuana for alcohol leads to minor reductions in violent crimes that can be detected at the state level.
Maryland Senate passes medical marijuana legislation from the Baltimore Sun. The Senate passed legislation Thursday that would give Marylanders with serious medical conditions access to marijuana if it is recommended by a specially licensed physician. As amended in the Senate, the bill is significantly different from the version passed by the House. The Senate bill, which passed 45-1, takes a much less restrictive approach to the number of licenses for growers and distributors of marijuana, which the House had limited to 10. The Senate version has no limit on the number of growers and calls for a minimum of 94 distributors to be spread across the state. The Senate, motivated by concerns of a monopoly with the House approach, separated the growers from the distributors. Pennsylvania marijuana bills would cut penalties for small amounts from Lehigh Valley Live. A Pennsylvania lawmaker who's running for lieutenant governor has introduced two bills to lessen penalties for possession of small amounts of marijuana. Senator Mike Stack, a Philadelphia Democrat, said in a news conference today one bill, SB 1307, would make possession of less than an ounce of pot a summary offense for the first two incidents. After that, local prosecutors would have discretion to file criminal charges. Possession of up to 30 grams, or about an ounce of marijuana, is now a misdemeanor, carrying a maximum penalty of 30 days in prison and a $500 fine. Stack, one of six candidates vying to be the running mate of the Democratic nominee for governor, is also introducing a bill, SB 1308, to make it easier for people to have their records expunged of convictions for small possession amounts of the drug. Both bills were referred Tuesday to the Senate Judiciary Committee. Long shot, California may yet vote on marijuana legalization in 2014, from Seattle Post-Intelligencer. A California initiative that has failed once this year to collect enough signatures to put recreational marijuana on the ballot in November has been resurrected, but its future looks grim. On Monday, California's Secretary of State approved language for the Marijuana Legalization Initiative statute. The sponsor of the initiative's earlier incarnation, Burton Doozy, tried and failed in February to turn in enough signatures on the California Cannabis Hemp Initiative. Taking a cold look at the prospects, CCHI has nowhere near the $3 million in cash it takes to get professional signature gatherers on the street. Doozy said the group had less than $100,000 on hand and must collect over a half million signatures by August 18th. This has been your 420 Radio News for Thursday, March 27th, 2014. I'm Russ Belville. When we come back, we'll go behind the headlines to take a look at the lack of the anti-drug ads recently on the airwaves following legalization, and what happened to the Partnership for a Drug-Free America. You're listening to The Russ Belville Show on 420radio.org. We'll be right back.
Starting up a medical cannabis business, you don't just want any attorney. You want a fired-up lawyer who understands the needs of cannabis consumers. The Law Office of Lauren Vasquez is your fired-up lawyer for the cannabis industry. Lauren Vasquez knows the details of California marijuana law from both a personal and professional angle. Lauren Vasquez rose from the ranks of college normal activists to become one of the Bay Area's best marijuana lawyers. Visit her website, firedublawyer.com, or call 1-855-MMJ-LAWS for more information. That's 855-665-5297 for Lauren Vasquez, your Fired Up Lawyer, or email firedublawyer@gmail.com. The number again is 855-MMJ-LAWS, 855-665-5297 for your Fired Up Lawyer, Lauren Vasquez. Lauren Vasquez is an activist attorney you can trust. Call today. Let him bring in the beat. Adam Hand of Handmade Apparel produces quality custom designs for t-shirts, hats, and other apparel. Handmade Apparel is the official design shop for 420 Radio, The Russ Belville Show, Ganja John, and Cascadia Concentrates, among many clients who rely on Adam Hand for everything from short-run custom projects to full-run clothing lines. Adam's meticulous designs are individually crafted and screened in vibrant high-definition color. Visit handmadeapparel.biz to browse the selection of handmade gear or to get a personal quote for your own designs. Handmade Apparel, a proud supporter of 420radio.org. Let them bring in the beat. Weed Nerd with Subcool and Ms. Jill from the Emerald Triangle of Northern California every Tuesday at 5 p.m. Pacific, 8 p.m. Eastern, 1 a.m. GMT, right here.
Is there anyone out there who still isn't clear about what doing drugs does? Okay, last time. This is your brain. This is drugs. This is your brain on drugs. Any questions?
Yes, can I get my brain with a side of toast, please? Welcome back, everybody. It's Behind the Headlines, and that ad there was the famous Partnership for a Drug-Free America, This Is Your Brain on Drugs ad, the old fried egg ad from the early 1980s that pretty much started a huge, huge budget of anti-drug advertising that we saw on the airwaves back in the day. And the question we're asking today is, what has happened to all the anti-pot ads? You know, looking back, you know, to my high school era, you know, 1980s, junior high and high school, there was about $1 million per day that was being spent, $1 million worth of ads per day that were seen throughout the country on these, you know, This Is Your Brain on Drugs and many other ads that were there. But now far fewer kids are exposed to this anti-drug propaganda. In 2003, 76% of teens, eighth graders, they're surveying here, 76% of eighth graders in 2003 had been exposed to these type of anti-drug ads, according to the Monitoring the Future study. Today, it's just 32%. So we went from 3 out of 4 kids seeing these propaganda ads to just 1 out of 3 seeing these propaganda ads. And the largest decline here comes from the fact that Congress has axed their budget. They're no longer a part of the federal budget. Since 1998, the Office of National Drug Control Policy had been funding these ads, including that 2002 Super Bowl ad. You know, if you support marijuana dealing, you support terrorism. You remember those? Their budget had been as much as $100 million. Going back to 2007, that was their most recent large budget, $100 million. But the program was constantly being criticized because it wasn't effective. It just didn't have much effect on kids doing drugs. And so it got all of these budget cuts from 2007, 2008, 2009, until finally in 2012, it was cut from the budget altogether. And part of this, again, there was lots of studies. In 2004, Texas State University at San Marcos found that the ads were not only ineffective, but could actually be encouraging kids into drug use. Part of the reasoning being that before they saw the ads, the kids didn't realize that these drugs even existed. And then they saw the ads like, oh, gee, I wonder what that is. And so now they're trying to do these above the influence ads and the anti-drug ads, and they're all having to do it through pro bono work from media agencies and free ad buys and donations. And this is just good news for us, because now even the Partnership for Drug-Free America realizes that legalization is happening. This was a story that came out of Ad Age, and Steve Passierb, who's the... Passierb? Really? Okay, Steve Passierb, who is the CEO of Partnership for Drug-Free America, said the reason they haven't been doing ads lately is because what are they going to do? Quote, a public service ad that says, by the way, voters of Colorado, you don't know what you're doing. He said that's not going to work. And then he said pot legalization, quote, is happening in America. The Partnership for Drug-Free America recognizes that pot legalization is happening in America. So now what they're doing is they want to do an educational public relations effort. In July, they hosted a panel discussion in Denver to talk about what pot legalization will mean for kids. And they want to try to just reduce use by children. They said, quote, parents have a critical role to play to ensure that readily available marijuana in these states do not result in higher levels of use by their children and young teens, end quote. Well, hey, I'm with you there. That is a parent's responsibility. And that's what anti-drug groups should be doing, is focusing educational campaigns on the real, provable, actual harms of the drugs, and explaining to kids why they need to wait until adulthood, and explaining to parents what signs they need to see to find out whether their kid is using drugs or not. But again, that's an issue that needs to be handled by the parents, and that's something we've been saying for decades now. that this isn't something that a cop needs to take care of, or that a court or a rehab needs to take care of. This is something of responsibility of parents to their children. So if legalization has finally gotten Partnership for Drug-Free America to be on our side in arming the parents to deal with their kids' use of drugs, then I'd say we're winning. Hey folks, it's 20 after. Time for us to take a break. Enjoy some of that fine herb. We're enjoying today some Blackberry Kush from Brightside PDX. Stay tuned.
Oh, have you ever met that funny reefer man? A reefer man. Have you ever met that funny reefer man? A reefer man. If he said he swam to China, he would sell you South Carolina. Then you know you're talking to that reefer man.
You know Herb Thrasher from the Herb Thrasher Flower Hour. Now get ready for Herb Age Designs for the proud cannabis consumer. Herb Age Designs, lifestyle gear for the 420 friendly. Herb Age Designs, home of the famous lighter leash. Herb Age Designs, get your Herb Age t-shirts and hoodies and show your pride. Herb Age Designs, we've got frisbee golf discs and durable hemp gear. Herb Age Designs. We've got shot glasses, drinking glasses, coffee mugs, and beer cozies. Check us out on Facebook and online at herbagedesigns.com and follow Herb Age and Herb Thrasher on Twitter. We'll see you at this year's Hemp Fest. Crank it up!
Support the Russ Belville Show. Text the word Russ to 420-420 and connect with the National Cannabis Coalition. You can also send $10 to the Russ Belville Show right from your smartphone. That's Russ to 420-420. You're listening to Radical Russ on the Russ Belville Show.
Well, I say it'll recollect. Darling, your words to fail. Little red carpet, you need a lover that's gonna lay.
Georgia.
Hi, this is Willie Nelson, and I need your help. Our marijuana laws are terribly unfair, and they make criminals out of law-abiding citizens. Nearly 2,000 Americans are arrested every day on marijuana charges, and we are unfairly destroying the lives and careers of hundreds of thousands of people simply because they smoke marijuana. These are not criminals. They are average citizens like you, good neighbors who work hard, raise families, pay taxes, and contribute to their communities. And it's time we stopped arresting responsible marijuana smokers. We need your help to end marijuana prohibition once and for all. It's the fair thing to do.
For more information, contact NORML, the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws. Call toll-free 888-67-NORML or visit their website at norml.org.
Everyone knows music and marijuana go together, so let's wind up our 20 after break with the Russ Belville Show's Daily Toker Tunes, the best in pod safe 420 music from around the web. Today is Groovin' Thursday, featuring rap, hip-hop, soul, and funk music. Now, sit back and enjoy your Daily Toker Tune.
Welcome back, everybody. Almost 24 after the hour, and time for us to get groovy. We are still holding open auditions for our next Groovin' Thursday music editor. If you're interested in volunteering and adding your expertise in rap, hip-hop, R&B, soul, and funk to our Thursday productions, we would love to have you. So just send me an email, russ@radicalrust.com, or visit our contact page at 420radio.org/contact. Also, the reach and exposure of the Russ Belville Show shall be growing by leaps and bounds. I can't tell you why yet, but more good news is coming up soon. Just got an email today that made me very, very happy. So got to keep it secret for now, but I'll tell you eventually. All right, so I get to take care of Groovin' Thursday today. And for today's tunes, you know, I'm thinking about the Neil deGrasse Tyson reboot of the Cosmos series. Andrian, the widow of Carl Sagan, is executive producing, and Seth MacFarlane from Family Guy and Ted and all that great stuff, he's executive producing as well. And so far, three episodes into it, it's just been phenomenal. I was a huge fan of the original 1980s Cosmos series. Carl Sagan, I was 12 years old when Carl Sagan's series spoke to me and led me in a direction toward wanting to question authority and wanting to trust science and look up the data. Really, a lot of what I do today owes to that initial scientific curiosity that science fiction and Carl Sagan instilled in me. And so it's funny to me, as the show has been going on, how people who are creationists and biblical literalists are screaming about the show, and they're very angry about it. And their upset reminds me a lot of prohibitionists and the way they get upset about marijuana legalization happening against their will. So for today's Groovin' Thursday, I thought I'd go more into the Tuesday section here, play some Symphony of Science stuff, some stuff I hadn't played before from our friend Melody Sheep out there at YouTube. This first one is Secret of the Stars, and then a short one after that featuring Bill Nye, the science guy, who recently debated creationist Ken Ham. So enjoy this. This is Symphony of Science, Secret of the Stars.
Say, do you like mystery stories? Well, we have one for you. The concept? Relativity. That strange, fantastic relationship between time, distance, and math. Before we're finished, I think you'll agree that truth is stranger than the strangest fiction.
Why do the stars shine? Why does the galaxy light up?
A equals MC squared.
Is the engine that lights up the stars.
Energy turns into mass.
E equals MC squared.
That is the secret of the stars.
That is the secret of the stars.
Now listen carefully. The faster you move, the heavier you get. The energy of motion turns into M, your mass.
Energy of motion.
Energy equals mass times the speed of light squared.
Speed of light squared.
An awful lot of energy
for a tiny amount of mass.
Light travels at the same speed, no matter how you look at it.
No matter how I move relative to you,
light travels at the same speed.
No matter who is doing the measurement, and no matter what direction you are moving, the speed of light is the same, the speed of light is the same, no matter what direction or how fast.
As you travel faster, time slows down. Everything slows down.
Everything slows down.
Time slows down when your time passes at a different rate. Clocks run slow.
It's a monumental shift in how we see the world.
The majesty, the power of the universe into a single equation.
E equals MC squared.
That is the engine that lights up the stars.
Energy turns into mass.
E equals MC squared.
That is the secret of the stars.
It's a beautiful piece of science. It's a beautifully elegant theory. It's a beautiful piece of science. It's a beautiful piece of...
A planet like the Earth is kept in orbit because it follows curves in the spatial fabric caused by the sun's presence.
Space and time are bent by stars and planets. As things move through this curved space, they bend.
Now all of this is illustration of the fact that time and space are linked together.
As you're moving through bent and curved space and time, you feel like you feel a force.
You feel like you feel a force.
As you're moving through bent and curved space and time, you feel like you feel a force. That force is gravity.
The beauty, the majesty, the power of the universe into a single equation.
E equals MC squared.
The engine that lights up the stars.
Energy turns into mass.
E equals MC squared.
That is the secret of the stars.
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 There's a question that troubles us all. From the time we are first able to think. And that is, where did we come from? And this question is so compelling that we've invented the science of astronomy. We've discovered these natural laws so that we can learn more about our origin and where we came from. This is what drives us. This is what we want to know. Let's keep looking. Let's keep searching. We have come to be because of the universe's existence. And we are driven to pursue that, to find out where we came from. The joy of discovery, that's what drives us. And these questions are deep within us. Where did we come from? What was before the Big Bang? To us, this is wonderful and charming and compelling. This is what makes us get up and go to work every day. We are, you and I, at least one of the ways that the universe knows itself. It fills me with joy to make discoveries every day of things I had never seen before. To know that we can pursue these answers. Where did we come from?
Support the Russ Belville Show. Text the word RUSS to 420-420 and connect with the National Cannabis Coalition. You can also send $10 to the Russ Belville Show right from your smartphone. That's RUSS to 420-420.
In the afternoon, if I'm home, I smoke marijuana.
You're listening to Radical Russ. On the Russ Belville Show.
Oh, marijuana. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Oh, I got my ganja.
Georgia.
Hi, this is Willie Nelson, and I need your help. Alcohol prohibition didn't work in the 20s, and marijuana prohibition isn't working today. It's time we stop arresting law-abiding citizens because they prefer marijuana over alcohol. Nearly 2,000 Americans are arrested every day on marijuana charges. We're unfairly destroying the lives and careers of hundreds of thousands of people each year simply because they smoke marijuana. These are not criminals, they're average citizens like you, good neighbors who work hard, raise families, pay taxes, and contribute to their communities. We need your help to end marijuana prohibition once and for all. It's the fair thing to do.
For more information, contact NORML, the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws. Call toll-free 888-67-NORML or visit their website at norml.org.
Hemp Radio with Patty Cakes from Orange County, California, every Wednesday at 1 p.m. Pacific, 4 p.m. Eastern, 9 p.m. GMT on 420radio.org.
Activism begins with ACT. The Russ Belville Show features the stories of hardworking grassroots activists working for an end to prohibition in today's activist agenda.
All right, welcome back, everybody. 34 after the hour, and joining us here in the studio is our friend from the Oregon Cannabis Industries Association, from the National Cannabis Coalition, and from New Approach Oregon, the man of many hats. It's Anthony Johnson in studio. How you doing, Anthony?
Hey, doing great, Russ. Thanks for having me. How you doing today?
I'm doing pretty good, although jet lagged as hell, man.
Say the man of many states, Russ Belville.
I know, you can't keep me down. So, Anthony, while I was out in Georgia, I saw some great news that your second initiative petition didn't get challenged at the Supreme Court. What's happening now? Are we going to move forward with number two, wait for number one? What's the latest?
Yeah, so most likely we're going to move forward with number two. Hope to have volunteer petitions printed up maybe as early as tomorrow, definitely Monday. And, you know, the national coalition, still waiting on word back from them. Hopefully I hear something next week, but it's definitely looking good.
Awesome. And now this second version, really, there's no difference between it and the first version other than it exempts industrial hemp from the definitions, right?
Correct. We wanted to make explicitly clear that we basically have three different avenues of usage and industry in the state of Oregon. One for medical cannabis, governed by the Oregon Health Authority. One for recreational cannabis, governed by the Oregon Liquor Control Commission, and hemp, eventually governed by the Department of Agriculture.
All right. So great news that we get to move forward on this because, you know, we're all chomping at the bit to get going. There's 88,000 signatures needed. It means you probably need about 120. So what's the plan as far as the signature drive goes?
Yeah. So, you know, stay tuned to newapproachoregon.com, our Facebook page as well. We'll have locations and where you can pick up volunteer signature sheets. And hopefully we'll have funds in soon to go with paid signature gathering as well. We hope to have a robust grassroots effort as well as a paid effort to get the signatures on the ballot. And we'll have more news over the next week or so for everybody to stay tuned for.
That's excellent. You know, we've already seen, you know, it's already been reported that you've gotten donations from the estate of Peter Lewis, about 100,000, and then another 50 from Drug Policy Alliance. Are they lining up now to help us? I mean, this is going to be kind of a quick signature gathering period here.
Yeah, we're hoping to pull all these coalition partners together, and you know, hopefully, in less than a week, I'll have great news ready to announce.
Fantastic. All right, so when we pass this thing, what will become legal?
It'll be legal for everyone to cultivate four plants and possess 8 ounces at home, travel with 1 ounce, and you can get a commercial processor or retail license from the state of Oregon. You can be vertically integrated if you would like, and you'll be licensed and regulated by the OLCC, similar to how they license bars, wineries, and breweries.
Okay, so people could have 8 ounces at home, 4 plants, so each plant has to only grow 2 ounces. Yeah, okay. But what's this commercial thing? Because, you know, a lot of people complain when they hear 4 plants. They really don't think that they can make do with that, especially if it's four. Is it 4 per household?
4 per household.
Yeah, so if especially it's 4 per household and you're living with another roommate, you know, it's 2 plants each. Could these people get a commercial license if they wanted?
You could get a commercial license for $1,000. And if you have a medical condition, you can still get a medical card as well.
Oh, okay. So it's not as restrictive as that first sounds when you hear, oh my God, 4 plants. Like, you know, West Coast problems. There's people on the East Coast listening to us.
Yeah, on the West Coast, 4 plants and 8 ounces means you're almost out of marijuana. I understand that. It's a problem the rest of the country usually doesn't have.
I guess so. The other thing we need to talk about here is what's happening this Sunday and Monday. We did a conference in Ashland, and we provided some coverage of that here on 420 Radio, a medical marijuana business conference, because now Oregon has legit, you know, regulated medical marijuana dispensaries. The Oregon Health Authority has just now done their first round of giving out licenses, and we've got one that went to Eugene, didn't it?
Yeah, there's one in Eugene, a few in Portland, I believe one in Salem, and I think there were 8 total given licenses outright and 22 provisional licenses that still need some hoops to jump through as far as security and floor plan goes. But it should be within the next 60 days, we should have at least 30 licensed facilities, and hopefully there'll be a new announcement tomorrow, as early as tomorrow, that there's another new batch of licenses that have been approved.
All right. So that means now that we are starting kind of on the ground floor in Oregon as far as getting these businesses up and running, which is not to say they haven't already been up and running, but now they've got laws to comply with and regulations.
Laws to comply with, rules and regulations, and in some areas of the state more protection than they did previously when they're kind of operating in a gray area, and now with the license in hand, they know that they're fully compliant with the law. But there's definitely rules and regulations to be put in place, and there's still political work to be done to stop some of these moratoriums that communities are thinking about implementing.
Yeah, and so this is the Oregon Medical Marijuana Business Conference. You can check it out at ommbc.com. And if someone's out there wanting to, you know, get involved in the Oregon business, what are they going to pick up at the conference?
Yeah, you'll get the, you know, ground floor as well as more advanced knowledge of what's going on with the medical marijuana program in Oregon. So the an attorney like Paul Loney can walk you through the process as far as application goes. Lee Berger, who's leading the effort to challenge a lot of these moratoriums and denial of business licenses, will be on hand to talk about his experience in different localities. We have Amy Margolis, another defense attorney, Brian Michaels, who has a great segment called Follow the Money. You talk about the new rules and regulations, and now we're moving into the mainstream. There's employment law and tax law and workers' comp and insurance. And, you know, as you get more advanced, you're going to want trademark protection, maybe copyright protection, protecting your brand name. And we have a business attorney on hand for that, a couple business attorneys on hand for that. And this will provide a lot of opportunities to pick the brains of all these lawyers and professionals that normally, you know, cost you $300 an hour. You get the whole thing for $350 today, 2 days of business experience, as well as networking opportunities, as well as learning from somebody like Don Duncan from Americans for Safe Access, who's been doing this for, you know, over a decade now in California, with his experience about good neighbor policies, how you handle taxes. Aaron Smith from the National Cannabis Industry Association is going to talk about banking, which is still a very, you know, tough issue for dispensaries. So if you're thinking about operating a dispensary, the Oregon Medical Marijuana Business Conference is definitely great information for you. But also, if you're thinking about ancillary businesses, growing for dispensaries, security for dispensaries, new products as far as trimming, growing products, there's a whole gambit of new and exciting industries for the medical marijuana industry. And the OMMBC will definitely get you in on the ground floor as definitely more advanced business information as well.
And just because we got these dispensaries regulated, they're still hammering out some of this other stuff. You briefly touched on the moratorium bill, which has that been signed into law now?
The bill has been signed into law.
Okay. And then there was also some regulations about not having any sort of edibles that might taste good.
Yeah. the Oregon Health Authority, I believe, everybody believes, even the main proponent of Senate Bill 1531, which allowed for the moratoriums, someone who supports localities being able to ban facilities, the main architect of that bill, which included child safety protection measures as well as anti-marketing towards children regulations. So no, like, you know, cannabis camel cartoon characters, sure. You know, right? And so he crafted that bill, and even he, Rob Bovet, even he states that this initial proposed ban on sweet edibles or anything that tastes good goes too far and was not within the scope of Senate Bill 1531. I believe the Oregon Health Authority has heard everyone loud and clear on that. We expected the rule to be announced on Monday that they were going to ban sweet edibles. The fact that they haven't issued that ban means that they're at least thinking about it. And I think that they've definitely heard the message loud and clear. Everyone on the Rules Advisory Committee, including, people who quote unquote are kind of anti-medical marijuana, definitely not pro-medical marijuana. No one has supported a ban of sweet edibles. And so hopefully the Oregon Health Authority will come to their senses and not implement that rule.
It just seems so odd. You know, they're always up in arms about, well, we don't want anyone smoking. Well, don't take away the alternative then. Jeez.
And we want licensed and regulated commerce. We don't want it to go underground. Yeah. And all of a sudden you're going to nix this business that's been operating for years now, and to make that go underground, I think is definitely not what the state wants, not what any community wants, and hopefully we'll get that changed.
Now, on this regulation for the dispensaries, it really just tackles the dispensary side, right? Has anything changed about the production and supply to these dispensaries?
The only thing that's changed as far as production and supply is now that growers, with their patient's approval, can be reimbursed for the normal and customary cost of doing business when they provide excess cannabis to the facilities. So previously, growers could only be reimbursed for supplies and utilities. This theoretically should allow them to be compensated for their labor and be reimbursed for a bigger class of expenses, not just supplies and utilities. So that is a plus. On the minus, yeah, there hasn't been enough done to tackle production and processing. Mm-hmm. And one of the issues that we're going to see coming up is that the dispensaries are regulated like a normal commercial business, but the production that supplies the dispensaries is still being operated on a per patient, somewhat nonprofit, you know, charitable model. And those two kind of different modes of production and business are going to need to be alleviated and fixed as we move forward, for sure.
And correct me if I'm wrong on my interpretation of this, but, you know, part of what I do is I try to look for unintended consequences. And when I see from this, if I'm not interpreting incorrectly, the patient can reimburse the grower as they always have, supplies and utilities, but the grower can get reimbursed for supplies, utilities, and cost of business if he's given to dispensary. Doesn't that incentivize the grower to want to divert more to the dispensary than he does to the patient?
You make a good point that, you know, on its face could give the grower incentive to do that. However, the grower has to keep their patient happy to get the authorization to provide for facilities. So if growers aren't keeping their patient happy, then they're not going to be able to provide for to dispensaries.
Yeah. But sometimes I think that the growers have the upper hand because as a patient, it's not like there's a huge list of growers to choose from and you feel like you don't want to rock the boat, especially when it costs you $50 to have to change your grower. So again, this is supply stuff. This has got to get worked out because I can see there's, you know, we kind of took care of, okay, we've got these unlicensed dispensaries. Let's license them. Well, yeah, but they're getting their weed from somewhere. let's take care of that side as well. But we're going to have to tackle that at another time. That's pretty big. But we've made great strides here in Oregon. And I think, Anthony, you have a lot to do with it. Thanks for all your work.
Thanks a lot, Russ, for the kind words. And thanks for doing what you do.
OMMBC.com. I'll be there presenting. Anthony will be there. And we'll bring you some coverage. We'll bring you little highlights like we did last time. But if you want the full deal, you got to get down there to Eugene, Oregon, the Hilton. It's Sunday and Monday, and there's really nothing to compare to the face-to-face networking and the questions you can ask in person. It beats everything. So check it out if you can. OMMBC.com. When we come back, we're going to rant about the Minnesota governor telling people to just break the law. Get your medical marijuana off the street. Right back.
The Russ Belville Show is blogging and podcasting daily at RadicalRuss.com.
Are you or is someone you know a marijuana smoker? Have you or is someone in your family been arrested for a marijuana violation? You need to know the truth about pot. NORML, the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws, is the most comprehensive source of information regarding marijuana and its effects on health, as well as legal issues. NORML even offers a database of lawyers specializing in cannabis in your area. NORML, the nation's largest and most successful marijuana law reform organization, has spent decades gathering the knowledge and science on everything related to cannabis. NORML is the best resource to find out the truth about marijuana, connect with a lawyer in your area, or help find an end to prohibition. Information is available at normal.org, that's NORML.org, or toll free at 888-67-NORMAL.
420 Radio, your ticket to the Boston Freedom Rally.
I used to do drugs. And one morning I woke up, I looked in the mirror and I said, "You look frightening." Nobody said quit. And nobody said stop or else. I got sick of it, so I quit. And now, life's the beach.
What cigarettes to keep somebody from getting all potted up on weed and then getting behind the wheel.
The Russ Belville Show reminds you to never smoke and drive impaired. Hang out for a while. Share.
You want answers?
I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore.
You want answers?
You have offended my family.
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth.
And you have offended a Shaolin temple.
You can't handle the truth.
Surely you can't be serious.
I am serious. And don't call me Shirley.
Radical rant.
All right, welcome back, everybody. Time for the Radical Rant. And for today's rant, we're taking a firm look at the state of Minnesota, where the governor has told parents of sick kids, just break the law. A parent with a sick child would do almost anything to find relief. Some parents rejoiced when Dr. Sanjay Gupta exposed them to the stories of children like theirs finding relief from epilepsy with a cannabis extract high in CBD. The only problem is the oil is not legal in their state, so these parents have begun to lobby their legislatures for a legal solution. But rather than help these parents by finding them a legal way to treat their child with marijuana, invertebrate politicians have instead done something contrary to their oath of office. They're openly encouraging desperate parents to break state and federal laws. In Minnesota, Governor Mark Dayton met with Jessica Hauser. She and other parents met with the governor on March 13th to lobby for House File 1818, an extremely restrictive medical marijuana bill that would have established dispensaries to provide medical marijuana for a limited set of medical conditions. Hauser's son Wyatt has infantile spasms. It's a form of epilepsy that strikes him hundreds of times a day. Hauser's conversation with the governor was stunning. Quote, "I explained to the governor how my son and others like him would benefit from safe and legal access to medical marijuana. I told him in great detail our story and our struggles. My optimism quickly turned to dismay when, after hearing my son's story, the governor actually suggested I should just find medical marijuana for my son off the street. This is our state's top official looking me in the eye and telling me that I should have to break the law to buy marijuana from an illegal drug dealer instead of being able to access it safely and legally from a tightly regulated state licensed provider as outlined in the House File 1818 bill. Is that what his friends in law enforcement would prefer as well?" End quote. Governor Dayton prefers his proposal, which is for a $2.2 million study of CBD at the Mayo Clinic to get the CBD, but it doesn't provide any way for the Mayo Clinic to get the CBD aside from the federal government. Heather Azzi, the political director for Minnesotans for Compassionate Care, said, quote, "At least 34 states have tried this approach and it doesn't work." She's the lobbyist who was pushing for the House File 1818. And in fact, no new law is required for Governor Dayton's proposal. If FDA and NIDA approved the clinical trials of CBD, it could be happening at the Mayo Clinic tomorrow. The governor's just offering up something, anything, as a defense to what's turning into a politically uncomfortable situation that places him between sick kids who desperately need CBD and Minnesota cops who desperately need marijuana arrests. Governor Dayton further portrayed activists' rejection of his unworkable study bill as, quote, their decision to make, adding, quote, there are people who just want to be able to smoke marijuana, and that's what they want to do legally, and that's not going to happen in this legislative session, end quote. When the parents slammed him for making those comments, he walked them back the next day, saying, quote, my comment yesterday, in which I referred to the advocates who want to legalize medical marijuana and be able to smoke marijuana plants and leaves, was in no way intended to refer to victims of terrible diseases or their parents, who I was trying to help, end quote. Well, who was it intended toward, Governor? Heather Azzi at the Minnesotans for Compassionate Care? Was it intended for the majority of Minnesotans that support medical marijuana? And as for telling Ms. Hauser to find medical marijuana on the streets, When asked about that, Governor Dayton just said today, quote, "I cannot and I do not advocate breaking the law. But as a father, I understand parents who would do anything possible to help their children. If advocates agree to the compromise solution my administration has proposed, which I believe would provide their children with the medication and relief they need as quickly as possible, then something can be accomplished on this issue this session." End quote. Governor Dayton, you know damn well that this $2.2 million study bill for CBD depends on there being a clinical trial, which is not happening, which depends on the FDA's approval, which is not happening, which depends on CBD acquired from NIDA, which is not happening. Those children that were brought before you that are having 100 or more seizures a day will continue to have 100 or more seizures a day every day as you are playing politics with this bill, with this law, with this whole issue. Governor Dayton continues. Now, keep in mind that Governor Dayton has been threatening to veto any medical marijuana bill that didn't meet the liking of law enforcement. Governor Dayton is upset. He said, quote, "I also regret that I have been wrongly portrayed as the sole barrier between sufferers and their access to medical marijuana," end quote. Oh, sorry, Governor Dayton. I guess you're the victim here, huh? Oh, you poor thing, being falsely portrayed as someone who has been threatening to veto House File 1818, as being falsely portrayed as the guy who's standing in the way of these parents getting some relief for their sick kids. So sorry you've been wrongly portrayed as the sole barrier, as you're the one who's telling a mom to go get medical marijuana off a street dealer. But of course the governor, he says he's merely echoing the concerns of medical professionals and law enforcement that marijuana can, quote, "disrupt learning and impair memory, exacerbate mental illness, increase blood pressure, heart rate, and heart attack risk, and impair drivers," end quote. None of which can kill or damage a child like hundreds of epileptic seizures a day can. And it's not just Governor Dayton in Minnesota, although this week he is the most egregious example. He's not the only politician who's encouraging parents of sick kids to break the law. This CBD-only bill that was just signed in Utah, and the one that just passed in Alabama and it's about to be signed, and the one in Kentucky and the one in South Carolina that are moving forward through their legislatures, and the one in Georgia that just died on the last day, all of them require parents to go to Colorado, live there for 30 days to set up, establish, you know, legal residency, get their medical marijuana card, go to a Colorado dispensary to pick up cannabis oil that they intend to take out of state, which if they make any indication that they're intending to take it out of state, the dispensary itself is in trouble for distributing that to him. It goes against the federal guideline of denying interstate trafficking. And then once they get that CBD oil, they can then break Colorado law by taking it out of state, break Denver airport regulations by taking it into the airport. And then if they fly it across state lines, now they're breaking federal trafficking laws. But once they get back to Utah or Alabama or Kentucky or South Carolina or Georgia, then now they're safe. Base. I'm safe, base. Well, shit, if these parents wanted to break a state law and a federal law, what would be stopping them from breaking the law right now? Why wouldn't they be doing that now, going to Colorado now, getting their CBD now, trafficking it across state lines now and bringing it home? What's one more little state law at that point? This is not an unintended consequence, by the way. This is not a mystery to these lawmakers. In Utah, when colleagues pointed out that parents would be breaking federal trafficking laws once they crossed the Utah-Colorado border, the bill sponsor, Representative Gage Furr, said, quote, "They know very well that this may not protect them from the DEA if the federal prosecutors stepped in," end quote. In Georgia, the bill sponsor, Representative Alan Peek, explaining how his state should protect those parents smuggling in the CBD oil, said, quote, "Let's leave that decision to the parents. If they're willing to take the risk that a TSA agent will arrest them with a vial of oil, let's let them make that decision," end quote. Isn't it ironic that representatives and governors are so afraid of someone smoking a misdemeanor amount of pot to get high under the cover of a medical law that they would rather have parents become interstate felony drug traffickers than provide sick kids a marijuana extract that causes no high? Irony indeed. Folks, that's all the time we got, but stay tuned for Hour 2. Toker Talk Radio is next. For everyone here at 420 Radio, I'm Radical Russ, and until next time, take care of each other, Tokers.
This is the Russ Belville Show. The Russ Belville Show is blogging and podcasting daily at RadicalRuss.com. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you